Good morning.
Morning.
Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. John 10, and we'll be looking at verses 10 through 18. I titled this message, Christ the Good Shepherd. Christ the Good Shepherd. Now in verse 11, our Lord tells us that He is that good, that faithful shepherd who was sent to redeem His people. Let's look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When you think of Christ the good shepherd, think of Him in this context, that He's my redeemer. He's the redeemer of His people. Think of what He's done for you, His people, in redeeming you, making you His own people. And what we're talking about is that He purchased His people. He purchased their lives so that His people are His own. And you might say, well, isn't He God? Didn't He create us? Aren't we already His people? Yes, in that sense of God being our creator, we are His creation. That's true. But in Adam, we sinned grievously. We rebelled against God and we condemned ourselves and brought ourselves into ruin. Ruin, because we're sinners. We are sin. And we are sinners. And so Christ came, well, He had to punish sin. God must, who is holy, must punish sin. We've broken the law of God and sin must be punished. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so Christ came to purchase His bride. He came to purchase His people with His own blood to redeem us from the punishment of the law of God. And so we are made the people of God, not because we saved ourselves, but because Christ saved us and purchased us. And we are His people now. He's the good shepherd who took total care of us, who provided everything for our redemption. Hebrews 10, verse 14, tells us that by one offering, Christ made an offering, one offering, where He shed His own blood. He offered up Himself unto the Father to make an atonement for our sin. By that one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Not them that sanctified themselves by the law, not them that set themselves up for this salvation by something they did in meriting God's favor or catching His notice, catching His eye. No, no, no. He knew us when He chose us in eternity. And by that one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by Him, by the Spirit, unto this work, unto this salvation, unto this purchase, and being brought under His blood. Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. He didn't enter into the carnal things which we've made with our hands. Those things were but a pattern of things to come. They're pictures and types and shadows of our God and His holiness and His perfection. And He didn't come into that place with the blood of animals. No, He came with His own precious blood. And these things are the figures of the true. He came into heaven itself, having sacrificed Himself now to appear in the presence of God for us. And what does He do there in the presence of God for His people? He intercedes for them. He says, Father, forgive them. I've made a satisfaction. I've satisfied that which was against them. I've shed my blood. I've given myself to make peace and fellowship between God and men. Christ the mediator, the God-man mediator between God and men. And so He did this and He purchased His people for His own. And having made them own, made them His own, He gives us life eternal. He gives us everlasting life in Him. Now, you compare this work of what Christ did, this great sacrifice of himself, bearing all this for his people, laying down his life, all the pain and the suffering, bearing the wrath of God, which was his people's due, what they earned, he bore it for them in their place. You think of that sacrifice of what he did and compare that to our enemies, those who would pick us apart and tear us apart, the false teachers and the false prophets and the liars. Look at what they did and what they do. They come and destroy men's lives. They come and teach the people a false way, and they shore them up. They firm them up in their damnation. They seal up their damnation. They make it sure and complete in their false ways, in their lying ways, because their way is not the way of Christ. It's not salvation in the Son of God through his blood, through what his sacrifice and what he did. It's through their works and their own making and their strength and their wisdom, all of man's foolishness and carnality. Read John 10, verse 8 first, and then we'll look at verse 10. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Right? They steal privately and they steal publicly. Thieves and robbers. Some do it subtly, some do it in your face. Right? They're all thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So that Christ is saying there's only one reason for the thief to come. It's to destroy men's lives. It's to destroy the work of God insofar as he is allowed to do it. Insofar as he can take it, he wants to wreck and destroy that which God himself does. But our Lord says, I'm the true shepherd. He says that he is the true shepherd. He says there at the end of verse 10, I am come, as opposed to what they do, I'm come that my sheep might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So that our Savior not only obtained for us eternal redemption, obtained for us eternal life, but all the blessings, all the knowledge of him are of him. He's obtained that abundance of life so that we know him even now. We know who our Savior is, and we're brought to a knowledge of him. He gives us his Spirit, and we are called by the word of his gospel. We are drawn by the Spirit and led by the Spirit, and the Spirit sprinkles us with the blood of Christ, giving us life, making us partakers of that new birth, that heavenly birth by the seed of Christ, so that we are regenerated, born again, given life from the dead, which we had when we were dead in trespasses and sins and had no part in the things of God, had no part in his kingdom, but now in Christ are brought into the kingdom, given life in the new man, whereby we believe God and trust him and look to his Son, our Savior, and have fellowship and life and peace with our God and joy in the Holy Ghost and fellowship with one another and hear the voice of Christ in the preaching of Christ and him crucified, that this work is for me. He's my Savior. I'm the sinner. I'm undeserving of these things, yet God loved me and chose me and has called me out of darkness by his glorious gospel and given me a Savior so that I know him now. And I know that Christ is all, so that I cease looking to my works. How good I'm doing this week, how bad I'm doing that week, that's all nonsense. We're saved by Christ. He draws us out of the heap of dung of men's works and men's righteousness and man's hope and what he does or doesn't do, and puts all our hope and puts our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we look to him that we should be saved. All of you scattered out to the ends of the earth are drawn near by the precious blood of Christ. The prophets testify to this very thing of Christ. The prophets testify that he is the good shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Go to Isaiah 40, verse 11. he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. There's a flock. There's a flock of God. They're his people. And Christ shall feed them as a shepherd feeds the flock. He leads them to the pastures that he'll lead them to. He leads them to the waters that he'll lead them to. He'll give them the drink of this river and give them the drink of the well. But it's all of his word. It's all precious and flows from the throne of our God. And he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Aren't you thankful that your God and Savior leads you gently? He's so patient with us. We're so hard of hearing. We're so thick in our ears, full of fat and the carnality of this world. And he's so patient with us. He's so kind and so gentle, forgiving, and labors with us in peace and does that which is good and right so that we hear him and we receive his word in his time as it pleases him and know that he's our God and Savior and how desperate we are for him. Turn to Isaiah 49. Go to Isaiah 49 and look at verse 10. He gives us the promise of his word saying that his people shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. In other words, he's not going to leave you to the wolves. He's not going to leave you to the false teaching. He's not going to leave you to the husks, the empty husks of religion, and leave you under the heavy, burdensome yoke of legality, under the law, trying to make a righteousness for yourselves, where you hunger and thirst. He's going to bless you with Christ so that you hear Christ and are fed and satisfied with him so that you don't need another Savior. You're not still looking for salvation. You found him who is the hope of the needy sinner, the hope of the child of God, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so you're not going to hunger or thirst. Neither shall the heat nor sun smite you. Neither shall the persecutions nor the afflictions destroy that work which God has formed in you by his Spirit. He's keeping you. He's keeping you. You're not going to be destroyed by the fire. You're not going to be overwhelmed by the waves of the river, the roaring river. You'll come through them. Because God is with you. Christ is with you, leading you all the way as your good and faithful shepherd. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And so our Savior is the good shepherd. As David said in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so Christ keeps you. And Christ is your shepherd. And you're not going to want for salvation. You shall not want for righteousness. You shall not want for deliverance because Christ provides everything as the good shepherd of his people. And he doesn't flee. When trouble comes, Christ doesn't abandon you. He doesn't flee from you. He's there with you, carrying you, keeping you, providing for you, teaching you, instructing you, and growing you, and giving you all things that you need as he purposes for your good and use in his kingdom. And you see how that's different from the false teachers. Right? He's very different from the false way and the way of carnality and the way of the flesh. As we saw back in John 10, verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. We never have to wonder, will Christ be there for me? We already see that Christ is there for us. He went before us. One day we'll die. This flesh will be laid aside and put in the grave, in the dust of the earth. But Christ has already gone before us, laying down his own life. And he's already overcome the grave. He's already conquered the grave. He's conquered sin. He's conquered death. It can't hold us. He's already overcome it all. And we in him overcome it all as well, by him, by his Spirit, by his power and glory. So back in John 10, verse 12 and 13, he says, but he that is an hireling, He that's only interested in the pay, he that's only in it for himself, he and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And the wolf is seen in the trial. The wolf is seen in the trouble. The wolf is in the affliction and in the heat of the trial and the affliction. And the hireling flees, right? That one who cares not for you, who doesn't love you and doesn't care what happens to you, and is only interested in themselves and their glory and what they get. And so they flee. They go where it's easy for them because they don't care. In other words, he leaves you, the sheep, to the wolf to be scattered, to be caught and scattered by the wolf. But I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that though the sheep may be scattered, they're not destroyed. Though there are times when the sheep are scattered, they're not destroyed. The Lord keeps them. The Lord gives his people life. They shall never perish. Look over at verses 28 and 29 of John 10. John 10:28. Our Lord tells us right there. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So there are times when the sheep are scattered and need to be gathered and are gathered by the Lord, but the wolf comes. The wolf comes to bring trouble against the sheep. Turn over to Acts 20. Acts 20, and we're going to pick up in verse 27, but in that passage, this is where Paul, he's on his way to Jerusalem for Pentecost, where he'll be taken and put into bonds and put and imprisoned and then eventually led off to Rome. But he tells them, he says at the end of verse 18, he said, I've been with you in all seasons, all kinds of seasons, all manner of trouble. And in verse 19, I went through the temptations with you, where the Jews lay in wait to destroy that work, as the wolf, to destroy that work which God had done in you, to contradict and blaspheme against the truth of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, which I've declared to you, Paul says. I've been with you through that all. Verse 27 now, he says, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. That means something to me. That means something to me as a pastor. I think about that a lot, remembering that you, the people of God, are precious in God's sight. You're so precious that he shed his own blood for you. He shed his blood for you. And Paul and the apostles, they were the least. They were taken and used of the Lord for the benefit of the church. And I'm just a pastor, so I'm not as used as him, but lower than you. Lower than you. You are the most precious to the Lord. And that speaks to me as a pastor, remembering that Christ's blood purchased you. And you're everything to the Lord, and I thank the Lord for you. For I know this, Paul says, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch. Be in prayer and watch. Remember this, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And that's our comfort, right? Our comfort. This is our preserving, the word of his grace, whereby he keeps you. He keeps you by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're precious to him. You're precious to him. And so what is our response when the wolf comes to scatter the sheep? It's to preach the gospel. Keep preaching the word. Keep preaching the word of his grace, because that's how he feeds you. That's how he nourishes you and keeps you and delivers you through the trial and the hardships. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, which are set apart by the Lord unto this grace, unto this work. Okay, turn over now to Ezekiel 34. Go to Ezekiel 34, and we'll look at verses 11 and 12. Here we see that we continue to preach Christ, who is the good shepherd of his people. He's the good shepherd, Christ crucified. Ezekiel 34, 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And so our Lord, Christ the Good Shepherd, is able to, and does seek out his sheep who were scattered in the cloudy and the dark day, and he gathers them together unto himself by the word of his grace. He'll seek out his sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day, because he loves his sheep and he doesn't leave them in darkness. He doesn't leave them to be destroyed by the wolf. He doesn't leave them to be destroyed by the thief and taken away. He gathers his people. He gathers that which is scattered unto himself. And we see this back in our text. Go back to John 10, verse 14. Our Lord again reaffirms this word to us, saying, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. So he knows his sheep because he gave them life, and we know him because he gave us life and abundance of life. So that he assures us and teaches us and leads us to know that he is all. And the greatest knowledge and understanding that we have in the things of God is to know that Christ is all. And as he grows you, what's the one thing that you come to know? Christ is all. He's all. I have nothing. Nothing to boast in but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all. He's the good shepherd. And so our Lord makes us to know that all my coming to holy God is by his grace. All that I know of him and have of him is by the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have any wisdom of my own. I don't have any righteousness of my own. There's no strength that I have of my own. The heart that I have was given to me of the Lord. When he took out that hard heart that heard nothing and believed nothing and believed only lies, and he gave his people a new heart whereby we trust the Lord and believe him and follow after him. Verse 15 now, which is related to verse 14. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And we see that in this, as the Good Shepherd, what's emphasized to us? His redemption, his purchase of the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep, he says. Meaning he goes to the cross for a sheep to purchase them, to obtain their salvation, to obtain their forgiveness, to obtain their redemption in the Lord. He says, I lay down my life because Christ is the good shepherd of his people. And it's in reference to him being our redemption, so that our Savior, having saved us from the punishment of our sins, says, I am the good shepherd, verse 11, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so that's what we see there. He's the good shepherd in redemption. Now, the scriptures also call him the great shepherd. the great shepherd. And the great shepherd is in reference to his resurrection, whereby he works all these things in the hearts of his people. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, and let's look at verse 20 and 21. Paul says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Now that's actually, we'll pick that up in verse 21, but we see there that our Lord was raised from the dead, so that he is the great shepherd who works this peace in our hearts, who takes of what he's accomplished for us and gives them unto us by the glory and power of his resurrection, so that in Christ we're delivered from death, we're given life by his resurrection, and are justified by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now it says, and through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's how he makes you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Christ is the great shepherd of his sheep. He's the good shepherd in redemption. He's the great shepherd in his resurrection. Then we also see that he's the chief shepherd in his returning to the earth to claim that which he's redeemed. Turn over to 1 Peter 5:4. 1 Peter 5:4. This is in regards to his second coming, his return. And Peter says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, right, the chief shepherd, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Right? So he's the chief shepherd. So with reference to his redeeming of his people, he's the good shepherd. With reference to his resurrection, he's the great shepherd. And with reference to his return, he's the chief shepherd. And they all have to do with Christ's mediatorial work for you, his people. He's all things to you, his people. And all of his work as the mediator between God and men, Christ, we see that we're saved by the Good Shepherd. We have been saved by the Good Shepherd. We are being saved by the Great Shepherd. And we shall be saved by the Chief Shepherd. Right? We see him in all things, his work of redemption, his resurrection power and glory, and his return to the earth to claim his people, to take that which he's purchased. And so the point is that our Lord, brethren, he's able to save. It's not a problem for him to save you. It's a hard work. It's a difficult work, which cost him his life. It cost him his blood. He sacrificed himself. It's not because it was a simple thing. It was very difficult, and it was very difficult and impossible for us to do, but he did it, and he shall not fail. Have every confidence in him. Trust in him more than you trust yourself. Trust him more than you have any trust in anything, because Christ does not fail. He cannot fail, and he will not fail. All others are deceivers and liars, thieves and robbers, and cannot save you, but Christ has accomplished your salvation, and he does not fail ever, ever. Believe him. Trust him. He says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so Christ is there pleading his wounds and his blood for your sakes, and you shall never be lost. The Father loves you, for you are his by the blood of Christ. So as our mediator, now he seeks out those that are scattered and lost. In fact, we see back in our text in John 10, verse 16. John 10, verse 16, we see a great example of how he's able to find and receive all that are his. They won't be lost. John 10, 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So the Gentiles, that had to be difficult, right? You think about how impossible it was for the Gentiles to hear. They were never a part of Israel. They had no part in the things that Israel had. They didn't have the word of God. They didn't have the oracles and the laws and the rituals and the ordinances of circumcision and the sacrificing of the animals according to the law of God and the patterns of things that was given to them. The interactions that they had with the prophets was about their destruction. was mostly about them being destroyed and wiped out lest they should hurt and touch the people of God that were Israel. And so the Gentiles were a scattered people. They were a scattered people. They were people that sat in darkness. The Gentiles were people that had no light and had nothing to recommend them unto God. And yet Christ's blood is sufficient even for them, for the Gentiles, to call them out of that darkness and bring them to a knowledge of their life and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, the light of his people scattered throughout the world. And so our Lord, who is the good shepherd, he sent out his word by the gospel, preached by a few men, and by a few men and women who supported that work and aided that work and did all they could to spread that work and send that word out that the Gentiles would hear, that light would be brought unto those that sat in darkness, had no power, but it came with power by the glory of the Spirit and called them out of darkness. Paul testifies to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll pick up in verse 3, but he had said, I preached nothing unto you. I didn't know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I preached Christ to you and him crucified. And I was with you, he said, in weakness, verse 3, and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that it's clear and evident to you as people that the reason why you believe him is by the power and glory of your good shepherd, who wrought this salvation in your hearts, who gave this life to you, who made you to hear his voice, who made you to believe him and trust him, and made you willing in the day of his power that you believe him and walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and aren't trusting in the dead works of man and vain religion, those things that cannot save. He's delivered you out of those things and brought you under the blood and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now he says in verse 17, John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep that he might take it again. In other words, that he would die bearing the sin of his people to put it away and rising again for our justification, so that he's all and in all and we're complete in him and don't have to look anywhere else, have no need for anything else, because Christ is sufficient for all things for his people. And the Father loves him because he came and did this work. He died in the place of his people. He bore our punishment. We that believe and trust him and know him and call upon him this day, Christ is our sin-atoning sacrifice. Christ is our life. Christ is the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Verse 18, he says further, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So that we are assured that what Christ did, his being crucified, it wasn't a mistake. He isn't a martyr. He wasn't taken against his will. He wasn't cut off in a way that wasn't of God's will and purpose for his people. It was all according to the will, to the hand, and the purpose of God for our salvation, for our life. He says there, just look at a couple verses in Acts. We'll start in Acts 2, and then we'll bring it to an end. Acts 2, verse 23. and 24. Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. All right, and then let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 26 through 28. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And so everything Christ did was according to the will and purpose of God for your good, brethren, for your good, you that are purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, that you should know him and have fellowship with him, and are made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light with Jesus Christ, who did this as your good shepherd. So praise him and glory in him, brethren. For he's good. He's very good to his people. Praise the Lord. Amen.